The FBI in Peace and War. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story in a moment. But first,
how'd you like to own a sunset, or a sow bug, or a star? In a way, you do, when you notice them closely and well. It's amazing the number of things we really own. Yet, because they're always there, well, we just don't pay too much attention. I'll tell you something else we own, and we'd sure better never let it go. A famous 19th century scholar, Zechariah Chaffee Jr., said it pretty well. You'll find it quoted in important books, right alongside the word of people like Abraham Lincoln, Ben Franklin, people like that. Chaffee said, "The Bill of Rights belongs to us, and not merely to persons who hold unpopular views. It may be involved by them at the moment, but it protects us, too. If we let down the bars to make it easier for secret police to get such persons, then the bars will be down if they ever want to get us. Hence, we benefit directly ourselves when we insist on the maintenance of free speech." Well, it's a fact. To have liberty ourselves, we've got to extend the same right to the other fella, no matter how much he disagrees with us, no matter how loudly he talks. That's what our forefathers had in mind when they drew up the First Amendment in our Bill of Rights. They insisted on freedom of speech so we might attain the wisest sort of government. Communities not filled with spies and suspicion. You know, it's nice to know you own the right to speak your mind. It's guaranteed in the First Amendment. It's one of our freedoms.
And now, tonight's story on the FBI in Peace and War, Retirement Plan.
Okay, listen to this, Harry. Have you ever thought about a retirement plan that earns money while you do nothing? That's right. You do absolutely nothing except collect money each and every week from your own vending machines. We install and service the machines. You take in the money. Write the post office box. Harry?
Huh?
Harry, I don't think I've got your undivided attention.
What?
Harry, what's the matter with you lately?
Well, nothing's the matter, Sam.
Well, you just sit in a hotel room moping all the time.
Oh, I'm not moping.
Maybe you need a tonic, something to strengthen your blood. Yeah, look at my suitcase. There's a fifth of bourbon.
I'm all right, Sam. Go ahead. Read the ad.
I just read it.
Okay. I liked it. Put it in both the local papers.
Harry, you worry me. Maybe we ought to take a vacation after this job, huh?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, a couple of weeks in New York, play the horses, maybe look up some old friends.
I'd like that, but not New York, Sam, huh? Someplace where it's quiet.
Quiet?
Yeah. A farm or something like that. Or a little bungalow in... small town.
Harry, I think you ought to see a doctor, definitely.
For what?
For a checkup. Maybe it's your liver or something.
I got a perfectly good liver.
How do you know? Have you got spots in front of your eyes?
No, I haven't got spots in front of my eyes.
What, just because you can't see them? Listen, you remember cockeyed
Fisher?
Well,
there's nothing wrong, Sam. Now get those ads in print so we can line up the suckers.
One of the most effective swindles practiced on elderly people is the so-called retirement plan. This racket has many forms, all based on a money-for-no-work setup. The sucker reads an ad in his local paper. All he has to do is buy a few vending machines, and he has a business that will take care of him in his old age. Of course, he later finds that there is a slight down payment of $3,000 to $5,000. And even later, he finds that he never gets the machines or sees his money. But when the victim first reads the advertisement, it looks like a pretty good idea.
Doesn't it, Hattie?
Yes, it does, dear.
Of course, I'd only start with a couple of machines at first, service them on Sundays. Then I'd take on a couple more with the profit from those, and then...
What about the store, Albert?
Oh, I'd still keep my job until I had enough machines. Then you know what I'd do, Hattie.
Why?
One day I'd take off my apron right in the middle of the Saturday morning rush.
Oh, Albert. Albert.
Right in the middle of waiting on that fussy old Mrs. Carter. She'd be saying, and I'll have a pound of butter, Albert, and 2 quarts of milk, homogenized. And then while she's talking, I'd take off my apron and say, get it yourself, Mrs. Carter. I'm through.
You wouldn't do that, Albert.
Oh, wouldn't I? Then I'd go into that sourpuss Griscom and I'd say, I've worked in this store for 23 years, Mr. Griscom, and in all that time, I've only had 3 raises.
He'd fire you, Albert.
Well, of course he would, but what would I care? I'd say, you can take your groceries, Mr. Griscom, and...
Albert, where would we get the money to buy these machines?
Well, here. Can't you read the ad? Small down payment. I could borrow money on this house, couldn't I? Or we could go...
No, Albert, not the savings bonds. We couldn't sell those.
Well, all right, Eddie. Here, but just read this ad. All they want is a token payment to show good faith. The machines pay for themselves in 90 days. Here, it says so right here.
All right, Albert.
Well, it wouldn't hurt to look into it, would it?
No, I guess not.
They could send their representative and I could talk to him, couldn't I? Any harm in that?
No, of course not.
Well, all right, that's what I'll do. I'll talk to their representative. After I get myself set up in business, you know what I might even do, Hattie?
What, Albert?
I might even get us a car. And when I do, I'll just park it right smack in front of the store where they got that sign, this space reserved for grocery dirt.
You'd get a ticket.
No, I wouldn't. When you're an independent businessman, people don't push you around so easy. Here, clip the ad, Hattie, and tell them we can see their representative anytime they're ready.
Two of the most skillful practitioners of the retirement plan were Harry Benton and Sam Warner. Harry was the one who made the first call on the victim. Sam followed later in a truck with the model vending machine. Our bureau had posted many warnings about Harry and Sam, and the Better Business organizations publicized the swindle. But there were always plenty of fresh suckers to rise to the bait.
And then, if I had 5 machines, I could be practically independent. Well, couldn't I, Mr. Benton?
Huh?
I said...
Yes, of course, completely your own boss. Absolutely 100% independent. Say, Mr. Wilkins, is it always so nice and quiet around here?
Sure, it's like a tomb most of the time.
Oh. Gee, you can almost hear the mosquitoes, can't you?
Those aren't mosquitoes. They're tree toads.
Tree toads? Really?
Yeah, they're a nuisance. Say, supposing I could work up to 6 machines, Mr. Benton.
Do they hop?
Who hop?
Those tree toads.
I don't know. I never saw one. Oh, and here's the iced tea. Put it right here on the table, Hattie.
Do you like lemon in your tea, Mr. Benton?
Oh, either way, Mrs. Wilkins.
Is it too cool out here, Albert? We could have our tea inside.
No. It's delightful, Mrs. Wilkins. I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Well, porch is nice when the weather gets hot, but these spring nights...
Oh, if I had a porch like this, I'd never come in the house.
If I had 7 machines, I'd get an apartment in town. That's what I'd do.
Well, there's no reason why you shouldn't have 7 machines, Mr. Wilkins. It only takes 10 minutes to service each machine, and you do that only once a week. So for 70 minutes, that is 1 hour and 10 minutes a week, you... What color are they?
What?
The tree toads.
I don't know.
They're brownish gray.
Is that so? Brownish? For just 1 hour and 10 minutes a week, you can be on your way to financial independence.
How much do the machines cost, Mr. Benton?
Happy.
Very sensible question, Mrs. Wilkins. Each machine cost $2,100.
All right. $2,000?
For each one?
Well, that's right, but all the investor pays is 1/3 down, and the rest comes out of the cash receipts.
Only a third. Mm-hmm.
But 1/3 of 2,000?
Hattie, why don't you let Mr. Benton and me discuss this? When can I see the model machine, Mr. Benton?
Our sales truck will be in town on Saturday.
Could you possibly make it Sunday?
My husband clerks in Griscom's General...
I'm associated with Griscom's General Store. I'm pretty busy on Saturday.
I'll be here on Sunday, Mr. Wilkins.
Oh, that'll be just fine. Hattie?
Yes, dear?
Pour the iced tea, Hattie. That's what you brought it out for, isn't it?
Although Benton and Warner took all the proper precautions to steer clear of the law, it was necessary in the practice of their swindle to take ads in the local papers. One of these ads was spotted by the Better Business Bureau representative while traveling through a small town in Ohio. Presently, Agent Stevens and I went to this town to talk with the owner of the local paper.
So he handed me the ad, and I read it over, and I looked him square in the eye, and I said, I don't advertise any fly-by-night schemes, mister.
And he showed you testimonials from people he'd set up in business.
That's right, he did.
Maybe he even let you see his model machine in the truck?
Yes, sir, he did that, too.
So you printed his ad?
Yes, sir, I did. But even more than that, I ran a story in the news column about the fine opportunity this business offered to elderly people. Oh, I swallowed his yarn hook, line, and sinker. Well, then when the truth came out...
I imagine some of the townspeople were rather unfriendly.
No, sir, they weren't, because I ran another story saying what an old-fired numbskull I was, and I started a fund to help those people that lost their money. But if I ever see that man Benton again...
That's what we're coming around to, Mr. Giles. Have you any idea where he was headed?
No, sir, I haven't. He said he was going to his home office after he finished here in town.
Home office?
Yes, in Pennsylvania.
Did he tell you he had an office in Pennsylvania?
It's on his letterhead.
We haven't seen one of his letterheads, Mr. Giles. Do you happen to have one?
I sure do. That's what he printed his ad on. You want it?
Yes, we might be able to use it.
Okay, here it is. The Hot Spot Vending Machine Company, Freeburg, Pennsylvania. You can't go wrong with the Hot Spot.
We sent Benton's letterhead to our lab for analysis in an attempt to trace the paper. The fact that he and Warner now had a letterhead indicated that they might be working their swindle on a larger scale than before. Such, unfortunately, proved to be the case.
So we take this Wilkins for a couple of grand, the guy with the chickens for maybe $1,100, then if we get that old coot that owns the rooming house... Harry.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Yeah, sure I'm listening.
Okay. Now why don't you close these deals and we'll blow, huh?
Oh, all right, Sam, I will.
Harry, for the love of Mike, what's eating you now?
Nothing.
Maybe you'd like to stay here in this peaceful little village. Is
Sam.
That it? Maybe you'd like to put down roots, Harry.
Sam, did I ever
yes,
say...
Yes, you did. Last night, after you were going down under that fifth martini.
Oh, I couldn't have said...
Roots, that's just what you said you wanted to put down roots.
Oh, that's pretty bad, isn't it?
That's bad. How about a little cottage with daffodils near the door?
I never saw a daffodil in my life. How could I say something like that? Anyway, it was three martinis. I never have more.
Five, and you were potted. Now, look, Harry.
Sam, I give you my word. I'll close the deals right away. What's Wilkins' number on that paper there?
2141.
2141. Yeah. Okay.
You're going to close him first?
Uh-huh.
Is he the one that wanted to buy the model I was showing?
Yeah.
Yeah, the grocery clerk?
The grocery associate.
He sure is right, huh?
Hello, Miss Wilkins. This is Harry Benton. I wondered if you were busy tonight, Mr. Wilkins. I've got a couple of ideas I thought we might talk over.
The paper used for Benton's letterhead was traced to a dealer in Chicago. Then we had to track down a list of printers who had bought this particular stock. While we were doing this, Benton and Warner were quite busy in the town of Lakeville, Indiana.
And I think I've put one machine out at that boathouse on the lake. What do you think, Hattie?
Well...
Of course, now, if I had five machines...
Albert, even four is an awful lot.
An awful lot? Listen, someday I may have 20. I could be the vending machine king of Lakeville County.
Where are you going to get the money for the four machines? You told Mr. Benton you'd have it by the end of the week.
Well, we've got a good house, and if I tell the bank I want to make some repairs...
Albert, you couldn't do that.
Hattie, I'm not going to be in groceries the rest of my life. I've got to break away sometime, and this is the time.
All right, Albert.
$2,800 isn't all the money in the world, you know.
It is when we haven't got it.
Hattie, it's time for both of us to start thinking big instead of thinking little. How are we ever going to get out of this rut if we don't?
What rut, Albert?
What rut? What? Well, this rut, the one we're in.
Oh.
Same thing, day in, day out. We're not living.
We're not?
No, we're not. Opportunity only knocks once, Hattie, once in a whole lifetime.
I was going to say...
And when it knocks, you've got to open the door because there's no second chance. They... What were you going to say?
I was going to say...
Yes?
I've forgotten, Albert. I guess it wasn't very important.
We finally located the man who had printed Benton's letterhead, and he remembered Benton and Warner very well.
You bet I do, the both of them. $28 worth of letterhead, $62 worth of folders telling how this vending machine makes money. All of this, and then they leave me with a bum check. And in case you're interested, the one that drives the truck isn't named Warner. His name is Wilson.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. When they gave me the check, I was kind of leery, so I said, either one of you guys got a driver's license or any identification, and this Wilson, he showed me his license.
What state was it, Mr. Davis?
Illinois.
Do you happen to remember the address on the license?
No, I gave the whole thing to the skip tracer that collects bills for me, but I haven't heard anything from him.
May we have his name, please?
Sure, it's the Merchants Collection Service. They're in the phone book.
You have no idea where Benton was headed, have you, Mr. Davis?
No. All I know is he was headed away from paying my bill. As far away as possible.
When we talked to the bill collector who was also trying to find Benton and Warner, we got the number of Warner's operator's license. He gave as his home address a cheap rooming house in Chicago. This place received and forwarded letters for him. The owner of the rooming house was a former con man named Hafey who kept his place as a retreat for the boys in the swindling business.
Yeah, and then where do you end up, Sam? In Hafey's rooming house with all the other old punks gabbing about the last big deal you're going to pull before you quit the racket.
We're going to play cards, or you're going to talk.
Oh, I'd like to talk, Sam.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Now, don't get sore.
Who's sore? We're only going to close four deals for practically $10,000, and you're talking about walking out on.
Sam, I told you I'm not walking out. I'll close the deals, but after
how
that...
could you do something legitimate? You'd end up cheating yourself just to keep in practice.
Thank you, Sam.
You would, I guarantee. What could you do legitimate? One thing, just don't...
Well, it may surprise you, Sam, but I could establish a little business with the vending machines.
Vending machine?
Yeah, in a small town like this.
Vending machine?
Well, doesn't it ever occur to you, Sam, that there are machines that do actually vend merchandise such as cigarettes and soft drinks?
Vending machines?
Sam. Oh, I see we've come to a conversational dead end.
You mean you'd set up vending machines?
Yes, I do.
You're out of your mind. Who could make a living on those
things? I refer you to the pamphlet, A Business of Your Own, that we gave the suckers.
Well, you wrote that malarkey yourself.
Well, it isn't necessarily
malarkey. Well, if it isn't malarkey, how could you write it?
Oh, Sam, in a moment you're going to irritate me.
I ought to irritate you with a good clout and a puss, only you're too old.
Well, where are you going?
I'm going out for a beer so I can sit someplace and think over what a no good you turned out to be.
Just because I want to settle down and have a little business of my own, a retirement plan?
The only retirement plan you'll ever get is a 10-year stretch in a lockup.
Oh, Sam... I forgive you.
Anything that happens to you from this minute on, you deserve it.
After several days of persuasion in which the rooming housekeeper, Hafey, was convinced that the better part of valor was revelation, we learned that Warner's last known address was a small hotel in the town of Oakdale, Indiana. He was there, Hafey said, with his partner, Harry Benton.
So, Mr. Benton said I should bring you to contracts. He said you always come home for lunch, so I figured this was a good time to catch you, see? Now, you just sign all three copies, Mr. Wilkins, here and here, where I've marked it.
Uh-huh. Have you got a pen?
A pen? Oh, yeah, sure. One more thing. Mr. Benton said you was going to get a certified check.
That's right.
Yeah, well, look, I don't want to rush you, but there's kind of a backlog on machines right now if you want to get your name on a preferred list.
I could give you the check before I go back to the store.
You could? Oh, well, that would certainly expedite matters, Mr. Wilkins.
We could go to my bank right now.
Oh, that's a very good idea.
Don't you want me to sign the contract?
Yeah, sure, the contracts. Yeah, here and here and here.
Maybe I'd better read them first, huh?
Read them?
That's always good business practice.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, go ahead, read. But, you know, there's a lot of words there, and if you've got to get back to the store...
I don't think anybody should sign a contract they haven't read, Mr. Warner.
You're 100% right.
And now, where'd I put my reading glasses?
Oh, I'll read it for you.
No. I think I'd better... Hattie! Trouble is, I sometimes don't wear my normal glasses, and then I can't find my reading glasses. Now, Hattie, where did you... Oh, yes, here they are. Never mind, Hattie, I found them.
Mr. Wilkins.
Now, we've got time, Mr. Warner. I get a full hour for lunch.
All right.
Now, let's see what we've got here. Purchase agreement, Hotspot Vending Machine Incorporated, and Albert Humphrey Wilkins. You know something, Mr. Warner? I think this is going to be a real turning point in my life. I just got a feeling.
Yes, ma'am, that's the only way we can put it. A real turning point. Oh, I'd like to settle in a quiet little town, just like this. Spend my time drinking iced tea.
Albert says Oakdale is dead. It hasn't got any future.
You know something, Ms. Wilkins? That's just what I want. A place with no future.
Albert wants to get out someday when the machines are paying, he says.
Well, when a man has a business of his own, anything is possible.
That's just what Albert said after lunch when he signed the contract.
Yes, When he what?
When he signed the contract. Mr. Warner said...
Mr. Warner was here?
Yes, about noontime. They both went over to the bank before Albert went back to the store.
The bank? Mr. Wilkins' bank?
Albert is drawing a certified check.
Why, that big double-crossing, two-time crook.
Mr. Benson.
Oh, I didn't mean your husband, Mrs. Wilkins. I meant... Where's your phone? Will you call your husband right away? No, never mind. It's late. Oh, I could murder him. He didn't trust me to close the deals. I'll better plug nickel at that...
Mr. Benton, I'm sure you meant no offense, but I think you better explain yourself.
Oh, I will. I'm a sucker, Mrs. Wilkins, a trusting, gullible...
In the parlor, Albert. Mr. Benton is here.
Oh, Mr. Benton is here. Well, good.
Mr. Wilkins, did you give my partner a check?
Ixnay, Harry, shut the trap. Let him up. Harry's the FBI.
FBI.
You're under arrest, Benton.
Albert, what happened?
There are a couple of crooks, Harry. Both of them.
No, Mr. Wilkins. Only one of us is a crook, and I'm glad he didn't get away with it.
Harry, clam up, I'm telling you.
Okay, Benton, come along. Mr. Wilkins, can you come with us now?
Albert.
I'll be there in a minute, Mr. Reynolds.
Okay, we'll wait in the car. Come along, boys.
Oh, Sam, you're a great disappointment to me. Mrs. Wilkins, I'll be back someday. Take care of your husband.
Albert.
Well, what happened was this, Hattie. Hello. Oh, yes, Mr. Griscom. Yes, sir, I know it's 1:30. Yes, sir, I know I'm late, but you see, what happened was that I... Hello? Hello? Oh, Hattie, I better get down to the store fast and see Mr. Griscom. He's sore as a boil. I'll talk to you later.
Albert,
I've got to run, Hattie. You know Mr. Griscom.
Caught red-handed, Benton and Warner offered no defense to several charges of fraud. Each was sentenced to a 3-year term in prison. Although Benton didn't have this in mind, he's now on the second year of his enforced retirement plan. In tonight's story, Paul McGrath played the part of Harry Benton. Bob Dryden was Albert Wilkins. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Louis Pelletier. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War, and the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. This is Dick Noel inviting you to listen to next week's story, The Snapshot. The FBI in Peace and War has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.